From the Lynn de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 17th day of April. It's the last trading day for the week. The markets are closed tomorrow in observance of Good Friday. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. We'll hear from Joanna Colucci about Brazil and how ethanol has been driving a corn planting boom there. And then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast here in the Corn Belt across the United States with Mike Tenora on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. May corn for the day settled at 482 and a quarter, two lower. July at 419 and a quarter, down a penny and a half. December down three quarters at 466. May beans two and a quarter lower at 1036 and a half. And November at 1032 and a half, a penny and three quarters of a cent lower. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net now joins us to take a look at what's been happening in Chicago on this last trading day of the week. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being with us today.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So the trade is over now for the week. How did it go?
Yeah, overall, this trade was nothing like it was a week ago. You know, a week ago, of course, corn rallied 30 cents, beans rallied 70 cents. You had bull spreading going on. This week, a little different story. If you look at last week's close for May corn to this week, you're around 8 cents lower. You know, if you look over at soybeans, they didn't have a bad week by any means, but last week you settled at 1042, this week 1035. So, you know, overall, Todd, I think a couple of different things are going on. Of course, there have been a lot of planters roll, especially farther west and north of us. We've actually been able to get in the field ourselves just planting soybeans, but you know, with some of the forecasts, we've been a little hesitant to get too hog wild, at least with the temperatures as well. So I think a lot of that's going on, first of all, and then second of all, you know, we just kind of cooled off a little bit. Last week we were on fire with these commodity markets. This week you still see the dollar isn't doing anything great. We've fallen so much, even from just six, seven sessions ago, you know, but here towards the close of the week, up just a little bit. We're still 99.3, so well under 100 on the index. So I think that weak dollar is keeping things maybe falling apart a little bit more than what we saw this week. We gave back a little bit, but we didn't give near back what we gained last week.
I'd like to turn to the supply and demand tables. We have enough numbers from USDA now to put some figures together ahead of the May new crop S&D figures. What do you see in that table and what does it show you?
Well, I mean, you know, whenever I look at our table, for instance, 1465 is where we're currently at. Now, if you look at the pace of export sales, we're actually still running vastly ahead of what the USDA has projected. But let's just start at 1465. If we look at 1465, you know, you could factor in a 181 yield if a person really wants to. I think that's a stretch for a variety of reasons, just simply due to the fact that we've gained acreage. So anytime you really balloon acreage, it puts you in a tough situation. But, you know, if I just go to, your trend line yield of a 181, you know, and I look at that, I mean, that's going to put me in a pretty big carryout situation. I mean, I'm probably looking at something more along the lines, you know, of a 2 billion type carryout if you're able to plant the 95.3, and that's keeping demand fairly consistent. Now, if I go ahead and look at like a 177 type yield, you know, to me, that's probably a little more believable. You're still probably looking at, in that 1.5-1.6 range. Of course, it all depends on what you want to do with demand, but I'd be very cautious as to assume that this is super bearish due to the fact that I think there's more meat on the bone with increasing exports. We just continue to see solid exports, and I really don't expect Brazil to be shipping corn at a very fast pace until you get out into that June-July timeframe, and we're liable to ship a fair amount of corn between now and then. So, you know, right now, I still think that the market is kind of hesitant to come in here and say, hey, you know, we really want to sell this thing off. I feel like, especially the funds, they're going to want to take a look and see, can we get big yield along with big acres? Because if we don't, given the fact that all of our major competitors out here on the world market are they don't have a whole lot of corn to put on the market, you know, U.S. needs to have a big crop.
So USDA in March was at a $4.20 season average cash price looking forward. But the numbers you're using for your S&D table, do you kind of end up in that same space still with nearly a 2 billion bushel carryout?
Yeah, no, if you get a 2 billion carry, I mean, here's the thing, Todd, you're going to have some massive, massive volatility depending on where this thing ends up. So if you had a 2 billion type carry out, you know, a 420 cash price would look awfully good, I think, you know, whenever you're delivering this fall. Now, to get to that 2 billion, I think a lot of things are really going to have to fall into place. First of all, you're going to have to come in here and just slam exports at some point, slam the door shut. I don't necessarily see that happening. But if it did, you know, and then you were able to go ahead and get all these acres planted, you know, and then Mother Nature would cooperate. You know, a lot of these long range forecasts are still keeping a pretty significant amount of drought west of the Mississippi. I know talking to Eric Snodgrass this morning, one of the updated maps he looked at, he's still very concerned that in most of the Corn Belt, you could have some late season dryness. I'm talking July, August, and September, especially more concentrated to the west. So, you know, I don't know that I want to buy into a 2 billion carryout right now. In fact, I'd probably bet good money that we end up below that. By a fair amount. But to answer your question, you don't want to be sitting here watching these markets and not doing anything on the risk management side. Anytime you see these price levels above that average cash price, you know, you don't want to do that if we end up with a 2 billion carry, because it could be pretty volatile. On the flip side, I think you could see a really strong market this summer, you know, on any sort of weather abnormality. So clearly, planting's going to slow down significantly. Is that going to get into the market? I think it's anybody's guess. But, you know, if we're talking about this 2-3 weeks from now, there's no doubt that the market's going to have reacted to some degree.
Anything on soybeans before I let you go?
Oh, I don't know. I think on soybeans, I'm kind of in a wait and see approach. I know that they're not bullish fundamentally, whether you're looking at the world or U.S. But, you know, I do think that if you get some sort of weather related type rally with corn, you'd have a shot at some beans as well. Problem with selling beans today is they're not profitable for most anybody at 1031 basis the board. And so I want to at least be a little bit more hesitant and patient here. If we do get back up to that spring insurance price of 1054 and above, if that works for someone, they could go ahead and manage some risk there. But personally, I won't be doing it until we get closer to an $11 type figure, which I think is attainable still.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Bennett is with agmarket.net. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at WILLAG.org. There you'll find our daily ag programming, along with information from the crop scientist, the animal scientist, and the ag economist from the U of I. It's all at WILLAG.org. Now, up next, just a quick preview of the weather for the Midwest, or at least the past weather, and what might be coming. We've seen floodwaters, of course, throughout the Ohio River Basin over the last 2 weeks, but how much rainfall did they really get? Well, Trent Ford from the Illinois State Water Survey did the math.
A back-of-the-envelope calculation suggests that just the entire Ohio River Basin picked up roughly 56 million acre-feet of water in just 4 days last week. To put that in perspective, that's about twice the amount of water stored in the entire Colorado River Basin right now. Lake Powell, Lake Mead, all of it.
Last week is actually 2 weeks ago. The Ohio River crested at Cincinnati this past Sunday at 61 feet. The highest recorded river level there was in 1937, when water reached heights of nearly 80 feet. We'll have more on the weather and what's coming to the Midwest in just a few minutes here on the Closing Market Report. We're now joined by Joanna Colusi. She's part of the Farm Dog team at the University of Illinois and the College of Agricultural and Consumer and Environmental Sciences. Hi, Joanna. Thanks for being with us. You've written an article for the Farm Dog website titled "Ethanol Boom Drives Sharp Rise in Brazil's Corn Consumption." Can you give me a bit of history about corn production in Brazil and the development of ethanol both in corn production and from sugarcane.
So, in fact, Brazil is using more of its corn to meet the growing demand from the animal protein and also corn-based ethanol industries. So, if you look just the ethanol production, Brazil has seen a significant expansion of corn-based ethanol processing plants across the Central West states, where the second crop, the safrinha, production has grown very fast over the past decade. So as a result, the corn crush for ethanol production has grown, for example, from 16 million bushels in 2015-16 to over 700 million bushels in the current crop season, accounting for about 15% of the country's total corn production. The total corn output for the current crop season is projected at 4.8 billion bushels, an increase of 6% over the previous harvest. So the planting season in Brazil is over. The second crop production for 2024-25 season actually is underway in Brazil, with planting being completed in March and harvesting beginning in July.
What do you think the implications might be for the global marketplace of more domestic consumption of corn within Brazil?
If you look in that Brazil is keeping more corn in the domestic market, whether for ethanol production or to feed the animal protein industry, we can say that is shifting the expectations for Brazil's role in the international market, which has expanded actually over the past 5 years. But in the last 2 years, especially in 2024, Brazil reduced its shipments of corn, especially because the recovery of the corn production in Maine supplier countries such as the United States and Argentina and Ukraine, and also because of slow demand from China. But basically, with a strong domestic demand in Brazil, a natural consequence is likely to be a decline in Brazil's corn exports in the coming years, reducing the competition with U.S. corn exports in the global market, and also maybe putting up our pressure on the international prices.
In Brazil, unlike the United States, where just 10% of the gasoline supply can be made up of ethanol, so for every gallon of gas pumped into a car, normally about 10% is ethanol made from corn. That number is much higher, I believe, in Brazil.
Yes, currently gasoline sold in Brazil contains 27% ethanol. That's the maximum. Actually, it's from 18 to 27. This policy has helped to widespread adoption of the flex fuel cars, that are cars that are capable of running on any blend of gasoline and ethanol, being from 100% gasoline to 100% of ethanol. The consumers, when they go to the gas station in Brazil, they can choose if they would prefer to put gasoline or ethanol according to the price. And following a recent technical review, Brazilian regulators are recommending one increase in the ethanol blend to 30%. So from 27% nowadays to 30%. And that could happen this year. If that happened, this change could add one extra 1.3 billion liters, equivalent to around 300 million gallons, to the annual ethanol demand in Brazil.
Do you suppose that this domestic usage, increasing domestic usage within Brazil, will reflect in higher exports of corn from the United States?
Yeah, that's a possibility, because the competition, we know that nowadays the United States is the number one in corn exports. Brazil is the number two. In 2023, for 1 year, just only Brazil became the number one in corn exports. But given the situation that the corn has good prices in domestic market in Brazil because they have more use either to ethanol production and also to the meat production, we can expect that the amount of the corn, at least from Brazil in the international market, will reduce. And if that happens, the United States will have even more room to put its corn outside of the country. And the same will happen with the corn from maybe Ukraine, from Europe as a whole, or Argentina, other big producers of corn.
Joanna, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. See you next time.
Indeed. Joanna Colucci is a member of the Farm Doc team. You can read more from her online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. It's the last trading day of the week. The markets are closed in observance of Good Friday tomorrow. Our theme music is written, performed, and produced, as well as courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. The weather is next. Let's turn our attention to the global growing regions. We'll stick with the United States this week. We're now joined by Mike Tenora. He is at T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online, where he's the CEO and president. Thank you so much for being with us, Mike. Let's talk about planting conditions today across the Corn Belt. What are they like?
Well, today they're not too bad. About 95% of expected U.S. corn and soybean production were drier than normal over the last week. And so that tells you that a planting window is open. Now, there are some areas that are too wet, and we estimate that that includes about 5 to 10% of U.S. production, and that's mainly from the Mid-South into southern Illinois and parts of Indiana and Ohio. So that's the area that we'd like to have be dry. But everybody else right now, Todd, is doing okay, at least if you look at rainfall over that period of time.
And what do you see for the next couple of weeks?
Well, things are going to go downhill, unfortunately. There's a pretty stormy setup that's developing, and that's going to last into the end of the month. We'll see a few thunderstorms around the Corn Belt today and tomorrow, but that's not really the main event. The main event follows Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and that's because a cold front that drives through the Corn Belt essentially stalls out tomorrow and into Friday, and then that will allow a pretty large system to ride along it this weekend. We're looking for 1 to 3 inches across most of the Corn Belt and Mid-South through Monday, so that's quite a bit of rain. But the bigger concern is not so much that initial rain event, it's that there's a number of them behind it. We can see that southerly winds are going to flow northward from the Gulf for a while, and that's going to interact with pretty mild weather. And you put those two things together, and that's a good recipe for showers and thunderstorms at this time of the year. And it looks like we're going to see some pretty heavy totals. 2 to 5 inches should be fairly widespread into early May. And Todd, while this might not be the biggest rain event ever, it certainly is a significant one. And our concern is that these southern growing areas that are too wet today are going to be really wet by the time we get into the end of the month.
Sometimes we worry about persistence within the weather tracks and the weather in general, meaning every 3 to 5 days. Is that what you're thinking as the systems will come through?
It'll be a little more frequent than that, probably every 2 to 3 days. So there's quite a stormy setup here that's going to be rolling on by. One thing that we've been talking with our clients about is that we have neutral conditions in the Pacific Ocean. And that basically means that water temperatures are close to normal. If it were an El Nino, we'd say the water temperatures were warmer than normal. While if those temperatures were colder than normal, then it's a La Nina. But we're in the middle. We're in this neutral setup. And if you look at the last 5 similar setups to this one, all 5 of those were at least moderately wetter than normal in the 7-state Corn Belt in the period of April and May. So this is very much within the historical normal of this setup. And that's part of the reason that we think it's going to continue. Not only have we seen some pretty big rains earlier this month, we can see the near-term forecast is wet, and we know historically that this is what happens.
So are we talking about wet areas being the Delta and the Ohio River Basin? Does that include Missouri and parts of Illinois, Indiana? And what happens to the northwestern part of the Corn Belt?
Well, you're right. The wet areas are exactly where you're talking about, stretching from southern Missouri through southern Illinois and parts of Indiana and Ohio, and then points on to the south. That area to the northwest around Iowa, I'm sure people listening out there are saying, man, I could use some rain. It's been a little dry here for a few weeks, and all this wetness story just isn't really adding up where I live. And that's a pretty formidable area being Iowa, and it extends into parts of Nebraska and Kansas, even into Minnesota and Wisconsin. So it's not an entirely wet story, that's for sure. You could argue that more areas are dry today than are wet. But this pattern is conducive to rainfall for everybody. So these dry areas are going to turn wetter, and these wet areas are going to turn wetter as well. And then trying to add all that up and figure out what it means is kind of the difficult piece of the equation. But one thing we do know is that you can't plant rapidly when you have this much rain coming up. So it's going to slow down a little bit from wherever it would have been in a normal situation. And that's just going to bring home the importance of May weather. If the first 2 weeks of May are mild and dry, then this is going to be a fantastic thing because we'll have nice soil moisture in place and everything will start growing real well. But if you have normal rainfall or wetter than normal rainfall over the first half of May, well, then all of a sudden you'll be looking at one of the later planted crops.
Producers then will be moving as fast as they can in each section. Early on, they will be worried about colder temperatures. You suggested moderate. Is that across the whole of the Corn Belt and no frost issues and warnings through that time frame?
Well, once they get beyond the next 3 to 4 days where temperatures are going to wobble around quite a bit, then it looks a lot warmer. So part of this storminess is happening because of mild air coming north from the tropics. And that's just going to leave temperatures close to normal or above normal. So we don't think cold weather is going to be much of a factor once we get into next week. But, you know, as far as a major frost or freeze event, those are almost impossible to forecast this far out. Because if you look more than 2 weeks into the future, once we're in May, a frost or freeze is basically a one-off event. You know, it's always possible that you can have that happen, but is it likely? No. On the other hand, when you look back at the historical record, it's difficult to see exactly when we had a major frost or freeze because, you know, if you look at the monthly records, it could be warm in the entire month of May if you look back, say, 20 years ago. But if you had a frost on May 10th, it wouldn't show up in the data because one day in the entire month of May is not going to affect your monthly record all that much. So it's a little challenging to see from that perspective, but I think the bigger story is that it's going to be pretty wet for a while. It doesn't look like it's going to be cold. And that's just going to, again, increase the importance of that weather in May.
Thank you much. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, sounds great, Todd.
That's Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather, the CEO and president there. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.